Welcome to Marathon Weekend. Hey, this weekend's a big one for the city of Pittsburgh, and because of the impressive plot of real estate we've occupied for over 120 years, it's an important weekend for us too. How about that? So I just wanted to lean into the theme. How about it? Thank you. I know, it was kind of intentional, a little costume change going on. Already, I'm gonna strike a pose. Here we go. Does that go? Does that do it? Look, right, being right here on the race course, as many of you know, maybe you cheered on runners yesterday or today, it gives us a great opportunity to show up and support those who are running. But what I want you to see is, if you haven't figured out by my large illustration here and what I'm wearing, is that we have a powerful connection with those runners. Because like them, we are also in a race, simply because we are followers of Jesus. You might remember that a few months ago, Pastor Alan challenged us to be intentional about our pursuit of Jesus as he unpacked the theme for 2024, which is Run to Win. And since it's Marathon Weekend, I figured it was a perfect opportunity to lean into that. Because we're not just in a race, we're in the race. The race set out for us by Jesus that's rooted in the charge to complete the Great Commission. It's a familiar portion of scripture to many. We find it at the end of Matthew's gospel. He recorded Jesus' departing words for his disciples. Here it is. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's the work of the church, the purpose we share as followers of Jesus. And so even if you don't consider yourself an athlete, you're on the team, and it matters how you run. So as we explore what that looks like, will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for the privilege of bringing the word this morning. I thank you for my brothers and sisters who have gathered. Lord, they didn't come to hear from me. They came to hear from you. And so I pray that by the power of your Spirit, I would get out of the way and allow you to minister through me, using my preparation and my prayerful meditation on your word. I pray, Lord, you would now transform that into living food for those who gather today. I ask for your anointing on my mind and my heart. I ask for that same anointing on my brothers and sisters here, that we would receive all that you have for us, and by an encounter with your Spirit, we would be changed, more made more like you, more like your image. We thank you for that privilege that is ours to gather in your name, Lord, and we ask for your blessing over it. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. Okay, let me start with some interesting stats about the Pittsburgh Marathon. Apparently, this year's race is bigger than ever. Organizers expected 42,000 runners from all ages and abilities to participate. I agree. Wow, that's a big number, I think. Runners are coming from all 50 states and from 24 countries. Upwards of 300,000 spectators are expected to cheer them on. Maybe some of you were in those ranks over the weekend. Since 2009, $15 million has been raised for charity. And more than 1,000 pounds of clothing left by runners at the starting line has been donated to Goodwill. Isn't that a great stat? The marathon has tremendous impact on our city, with about 25% of those runners traveling over 100 miles or more to come to participate. Last year's marathon added $11 million to our local economy. Well, those are big numbers, big impact, and most of the runners who are participating take their training very seriously because they invest huge amounts of time and money to be a part of the race. In fact, the average marathoner will log 150 training miles or more in hopes of finishing strong across the finish line. So as followers of Jesus, we need to take our run, our race, seriously too, because our race is of far greater significance. The race we run has eternal impact, not just for us personally, but for those who are watching us run. When we run well, we bear fruit that helps build God's kingdom and honors our Lord. So as I've been thinking about running to win, I see three race strategies that we share with those runners who circled our church over this weekend. And the first one is purpose. Now, there are lots of reasons people run marathons. They run as a personal goal, something they wanted to achieve. It's a bucket list thing. Maybe they want to prove something to themselves or someone else. And of course, there's the powerful mental and physical aspects of running. But to push past the monotony of the training or the pain of injury, staying focused on the goal, they must keep their reason for running in view. And the same with us. In the day-to-day stuff, the grind of everyday life, we can lose sight of the importance of our race and the importance of our work, of doing all things for the glory of God, because it matters how we run. Living our lives on purpose and with purpose. If we don't, it's so easy to forget how short life is, and we lose sight of the privilege that is ours to be part of God's kingdom-building work that has eternal ramifications. You don't know how long you have to be it, to be part of that race, to be engaged in the pursuit for God, and so we need to stay with it. The second thing we share with those runners is the need to practice. If an athlete expects to achieve their goals, they have to train. No surprise that there's a direct correlation between input and output, good effort and good outcomes. Runners have to train whether they feel like it or not. They have to run in the rain, in the slop, in the cold, in the heat, because keeping at the training when it's hard will make it easier for them to run on the straightaways. And it's the same for us. The only way to become more like Jesus is to practice doing the things that Jesus did. That means not just thinking about or knowing what Jesus did, it means actually doing it, even when it's hard and inconvenient. So the third thing I see that's critical to our ability to run to win is a determination to persevere. Long distance running is hard. It's hard on your body, it's hard on your mind, and many marathoners hit something called the wall when their bodies run out of fuel somewhere between mile 18 and 21, and some runners hit it so hard it knocks them out of the race. Well, if you've walked with Jesus for any length of time, you know there are walls in our race too. Hardships and sorrows lead to disappointments with God. Seasons of suffering and struggle, seemingly unanswered prayer, make God feel very far away and can make you feel as if your effort doesn't matter and that you're not making a difference. Some have called it the dark night of the soul, and with good reason, because even the most devout and dedicated must learn to trust God in the dark and persevere. Now, runners of all kinds have lots of training trips, tips and strategies, but as I see it, there's only one way for us to run well, and it's our big idea for today. Here it is. The only way to win the race is to run with Jesus. He's the reason we're in the race at all, but in the whirl of our everyday life, we can lose sight of the reason we're running because we lose sight of him. So we must make it our pattern of daily effort to draw close, not to get so busy doing for him that we neglect being with him. We can't run a successful race without him. So unless you're fostering an increasingly close relationship with Jesus, you can't expect to run to win. Jesus lived a life pleasing to God, and he'll show us the way, but we must practice following him. We must practice asking him and inviting him into our day-to-day lives so he can instruct us. And that's certainly something we see in the life of the Apostle Paul. You know, considering the spiritual giant that Paul was, it's hard to believe that he was at risk of forfeiting his reward because he was running the wrong race. And I think we can learn a lot about how to run to win from Paul. Because before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. Saul was zealous for religion, passionate about power, and perhaps even in league with the forces of darkness bent on destroying the church. But listen to the change in his perspective after he submitted his life to Jesus. It's in his letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9. He said this, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might myself be disqualified. Do you hear the passion? As he wrote to the church he founded, he cared about them. He wanted them to stay on task, stay on mission, and not miss out. He wanted them to grasp the importance of the race they were in. Now, this race image was very tangible for them there in Corinth because it was home to the Isthmian Games. These games were second only to the Olympics. They were held every 2 years. In fact, some historians think Paul might have actually been addressing these themes and concepts to the people gathered on the outside of the stadiums for the games. There's records of that in the book of Acts. His original audience knew that the athletes who performed there trained hard. They dedicated themselves to their sport and trained for up to a year before the competition. And just like then as now, there was great prestige in winning. Now, I'm not sure there was extra money to be made from endorsements and clothing lines back there, but to be counted a winner in those ancient games made instant fame, which is heady stuff no matter where or when you live. So here's the first thing I see as we run.